Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Kuf. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we started a series of explanations regarding what is an apikores. The last explanation we saw was that of Rava, who said people like the family of Binyamin Asya, Binyamin the doctor, who would say, Maya hani lon rabbonon. Of what benefit do the rabbonon serve us? What benefit do we receive from them? Me'olam lo sharu lon orva v'lo osru lon yona. This was what we learned at the conclusion of the previous shiur. They claim that the rabbonon never say anything that we don't already know from the Torah. They're not mechadesh anything to us. We pick up with a story that reflects directly on the family of Binyamin Asya. Rova kihavu maisi trefsa debe Binyamin kamei. When a question involving the kashrus, the acceptability of an animal, with the possibility of it being a trefa, with an imperfection in one of its organs, when such a question of an animal came to Rava, and it came from the family of Binyamin, we've employed an arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You'll notice an arrow with a Tzadi Tes Omid Beis reference. That means try to find a parallel arrow on the same side of the Gemara text on Tzadi Tes Omid Beis, and you will find one opposite the bottom line. We've also dashed underlined the name Bei Binyamin, like you have over here on our daf. If an animal came from that family, remember, they're the ones that claim that the Rabbanon never said any chidush to us. They don't say anything new that we wouldn't know already. So the story continues. Ki havachosi bo taima lehetera. When Rava would see in the animal that was brought to him with the question of its acceptability, and he would see a reason to allow it, in other words, there was a problem, but he would see a side to say, it's okay. Omar lehu, Rava would declare to them as follows, Techsu, dekosharinu lehu urva. Behold, I am allowing for you the urva. The urva literally is an unkosher type of bird. But he's saying it sarcastically that the animal you brought to me there are reasons that one might forbid it, and I am able to allow it. So in effect, I'm allowing that which otherwise would have been forbidden. So you see that the Rabbonon have the power through their analysis to come out with something novel, with something that you wouldn't have discovered by simply looking in the Torah itself. And a similar incident, ki havachozi lo taimoli sura, when an incident would be brought to Rava from this family, and he would see a tzad to forbid it, omar lehu, he would declare, Techsu deko asarna lehu yona. Behold, I am forbidding to you that which you thought was kosher, just like a yona bird is a kosher variety. A third opinion as to what an apikoros would be, Rav Papa Omar, kigon di Omar, someone who would refer to the rabbonans to the rabbis in an offhanded way, as such, hani rabbonan, these rabbis. When referring to the rabbonan, Rashi points out that there is a respectful way of addressing them. One might say, for example, rabosenu shebemokom ploni, or someone might say hanohu rabbonan. The ear has to be attuned to fine speech, And these fine differences are being expressed here in the Hebrew or Aramaic language, but one can well imagine that in English also there would be a refined way of referring to rabbis. And if one doesn't observe that and refers to them in too common a fashion, he might be guilty of being an apikores. Rav Papa Ishtali, Rav Papa forgot himself, Ifyomar, and he once said, Kegon Hani Rabbonan. He himself slipped up. The Asif Batanisa, and as an act of penitence, he sat in a fast. He fasted. Number four, Levi Bar Shmuel, Rav Huna Bar Chia, Havuka Misakni Mitpochos Sifri Debei Rav Yuda. These two rabbis were once fixing the covers of holy scrolls in the yeshiva of Rav Yehuda. Holy scrolls include not only a Sefer Torah, but other holy writings like the different prophets or the Megillos. Kimatu Megillas Esther, Amri, when they got to the book of Esther, the Megillas Esther that we read on Purim, they said, oh, ha Megillas Esther, lo boy mitpachas. This doesn't need a covering. This doesn't need the protection that's afforded other holy works. Omar Lahu, so Rav Yehuda, upon hearing the way they refer to the Megillas Esther, he said, Ki hai gavno nami mechsi ki af kirusa. A speech like that, speaking offhandedly about the Megillas Esther, treating it in a less holy fashion than the other works, also smacks of apikursis. As far as the details behind their thinking to classify it differently, that is a rather involved sugya in and of itself. There's a reference to it that one finds in the Meforshim at greater length. Number five, Rav Nachman Omar, an apikoros is zeha kore rabo bishmo, one who refers to his rav, to his teacher, his Torah teacher, by his first name, without the appropriate title, like Mori Rabbi. D'omer Rabbi Yochanan, Neima Nenash Gehazi. Why is it that Gehazi, he was the servant or the executive director of Elisha Hanovi. Why is it that this gentleman, Gehazi, is classified as one that doesn't have a chilek le'olam haba? The answer is, Mepnei Shekora L'Rabo, he referred to his Rav Bishmo, by his name, Shinemar. The Pasuk says, Vayomer Gehazi, Adoni HaMelech, Zos HaIsha, Vezeh Beno, Asher Hechyo Elisha. Elisha was the prophet, who also happened to be his Rav, and he referred to him by his name, and hence we dashed underlined that for emphasis. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice there's an Aleph, and whenever you see an Aleph, you have to look for a Beis, and you'll find a Beis a little further down the same side of the Gemara, to the left-hand side of the Gemara text. Let us take a look at the Nosei, the topic heading. We have an Aleph and Beis featured. Shnei Maisim, we're going to see two stories. Ma Nechshav Levarer, Ma Nechshav Afkirusa, to help define what is an apikores. Yosef, the first story begins, Yosef Rav Yirmio Kameda Rabbi Zera, the Yosef Ikomar. Rav Yirmio was sitting in the presence of Rabbi Zera, and he declared, Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before we continue any further, let's also take note of the long point marking, the nun that you see encircled to the immediate right-hand side of your Gemara, with a vertical dashed line indicating that all of these lines are here to develop a particular point. So Rav Yirmiyah says the following, Asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lehotzi Nachal Mibeis Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the future a river will issue forth from the Holy of Holies of the Beis HaMikdash, the Olav Kol Minei Megodim, and on its banks will be all kinds of special trees with specialty growths. Shenemar Ve'al HaNachal Yale Al Sfoso Mizeo Mizeh Kol Eitz Machol Lo yiboil olehu, v'lo yitom pirio, l'chodoshov, yivaker kol meimov, min hamikdosh, hemo yotzim, v'yo pirio l'maicho, v'olehu l'trufa. This is describing what we would term a miraculous event of trees that will bear fruits all the time, and every month the fruits will become ripe, and it will issue forth from the Mikdash, and its fruit will be edible, and the leaves will be of a healing nature. Amale Hahu Sabo Yasher. There was a certain individual sitting there, an old man, who said, "Well, that's very good, very good. I want to strengthen what you say." V'chein Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says the same thing. Omar Le Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Yirmiyah turns to Rabbi Zera and asks, "Ki hai gavno mechsi afkaruso? Is this type of remark? Does it sound like apikursis?" Huh, well, what this guy just said, what this Ahu Saba said, "Hi, siue komisaye loch," he's simply coming to assist you. "Hello, ishmi aloch, hoshmi aloch." If you heard something, apparently, in Rabbi Yirmiyah's reaction to this particular Sabo's response, it must be based on something that he had heard that gave Rabbi Yirmiyah rise to question this. We will learn another incident, and from this next incident, where you see also something of a similar nature, but with one major difference, and that will become clear as we go on in the Gemara. The jumping off point, though, for our purposes, is this idea of trying to bring support to that which was said previously. We have here also a long point marking in the Kuda Aruka that shows the length of this particular point. And it extends, as we saw before, on the right-hand side of the Gemara text, the encircled Nun, going down into the wide lines of the Gemara. So Rabbi Zera says, if you heard anything that reminds you of apikoursis, this is what you must have heard. Kihah diyosef Rabbi Yochanan v'kodorish. Rabbi Yochanan was once seated, and he expounded on the following. He said, "Osir Hakadosh Baruch Hu lehavi avonim toivos u'margolios." In the future, God will bring different types of precious stones. Shehein shloshim al shloshim amos. The size of these precious stones will be 30 by 30 amos. V'chokek bohen, and he will carve out, he will hollow out in the middle of these stones an opening, eser barum esrim, an opening whose dimensions are 10 by 20 amos. And he'll then take those stones with their carved out openings, umamidon b'share Yerushalayim, and set them up in the gates of Yerushalayim. Shenemar, the pasuk that indicates such a thing is as follows: v'samti kadkoid shimshosayich u'sharayich la'avnei egdoch. That's the pasuk which features precious stones, and sharayich, the gates, will be made of these precious items. This is what Rabbi Yochanan said, and he based himself on this pasuk. Ligleg olav oisei talmid. There was a student that was sitting there that jeered what he said. Omar, the Talmud said, the student said, "Hashto kebiaso de tzilzula lo mashkechinan." Now, a precious stone, kebiaso, the size of an egg of tzilzula, of this small bird, lo mashkechin, we don't find. In other words, to find a diamond the size of the egg of a small bird, you can't find that. Kulei hai mashkechinon, is such a great size, you will find, as you said, in the future. Liyomim, days went by. Hifligo svinasu vayam. That student that ridiculed Rabbi Yochanan's drasha was on the high seas. Chazinu l'malachei ha'shores. He had a vision of angels to komenasri avonim tovus margolios, and they were sawing away at these precious stones. Amalu, he addressed the angels and asked, "Hani laman, who are these stones for?" Amri, and they responded, "Osir Hakadosh Baruch Hu lamidon b'sharei Yerushalayim." These stones are for the future, where Hakadosh Baruch Hu will stand them, will set them up, and in the gates of Yerushalayim. Kihoder, when this student finally came back ashore, Ashkechei Rabbi Yochanan, he found Rabbi Yochanan Diyosef Vikadorish, who was in the middle of holding forth a drasha, a Torah lesson. Omar Lei, the student said, "Rabbi, derosh ulecho noel lidrosh." you know what? You should hold forth and continue holding forth. It's right for you. You're the right man for holding forth. Keshem shamarto kach ro'isi. Just like you said, I saw. Amalo, Rabbi Yochanan, upon hearing this, said, Reka, you empty person, im lo ro'isa lo hemanto. If you wouldn't have seen, you wouldn't have believed. Malagleg al divrei chachomim ata. You are a scorner of the words of the sages. Yohiv ve'enei v'aso gal shel atzamos. Rabbi Yochanan gave him the look, and the student became a pile of bones. In other words, he died. The Gemara now raises an objection from a source based on a posuk, which brings into question the dimensions that were listed above, as will become clear readily. Before we go further, though, it should be noted that in the general structure of this Gemara, Rabbi Yirmiyah, in the previous incident, thought that the Hahu Saba was saying something of an apikorsis nature. If you recall, the Saba heard this idea of these amazing trees that would be eventually growing from the river, issuing forth from the Beis HaMikdash, and he offered support. This idea of offering support, we saw it turned out in the second incident to in fact be apikorsis, because he was presented there in the second story where that student came back and said to Rabbi Yochanan after he saw what he saw, he said, oh, very good, what you said is great because I saw it. Well, that's a lot different than the first incident. So we can say in summary, the second incident where the student offered his support, but only after seeing what the Rav was expounding upon. That's the apikorsis. But in the first incident, where there wasn't any insinuated question as to what that which the Rav was saying was accurate, there is no problem in bringing support. As we said, the Gemara now goes on raising a question regarding the dimensions we mentioned before with regard to these precious stones and specifically the hollowed out space. Mesve, v'olech eschem koimimius. This is a pasuk referring to the future where the Jewish people will be walking in an erect fashion. Rabbi Meir Omer Mosayim Amo. We will have a height of 200 amos, kishtei komos shel odom rishon, twice the height of odom rishon. Rabbi Yehuda Omer kuf amo. He will in the future we will have a height of 100 amos. Kenegen hechal v'koslov. This height of 100 amos corresponds to certain dimensions that were found in the Beis Hamikdash, the sanctuary, and the thickness of its walls, which also equaled 100 amos. Shinemar asher bonenu kinetim megudolim benureim benosenu kizovios mechutavos tavnes hechal v'chule. We see there a reference to the youth, the benenu and the benosenu, like the tavnes hechal, with the dimensions of the hechal. The dimensions of the hechal, Rashi offers two different pshatim, but for our purposes, it comes out to 100 amos. So what do we see over here? We see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the height of people will be 100 amos. Now, 100 amos is a lot more than the 20 by 10 that we saw before. Even if the height before in the stones that were placed in the gates would be 20 amos of height, but still, how would the people walk through that if they are going to be 100 amos tall? So the Gemara resolves. Ki ko'amar Rabbi Yochanan above, when describing the precious stones having a hollowed out height of 20 amos, in other words, we had those blocks of stones 30 by 30 that were hollowed out with an area with dimensions of 20 by 10, that was not a reference to the stones that would serve as the actual walking entrance into the gates, but rather lekavi de bezika. These were windows that would be placed above the gates through which the sun would shine in, providing light. Mai v'oleu l'trufa. It was mentioned above, and if you navigate with the arrows that we provided to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, you'll see a parallel arrow above, pointing to the end of the pasuk that was cited in the first incident. It mentioned that the trees coming that would be growing on the river that came forth from the Kodesh HaKodeshim had leaves that were of a healing nature. What is the nature of these leaves? Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Avdimi Rav Chisda. Chad Omar, one opinion is, Lahatir Peh Shomalo. In our markings, we have a Roman numeral number 1, and under that, so to speak, we have Aleph and Beis, and then the next line we'll see Roman numeral number 2, which presents also a series of opinions. So, the first opinion is, Lahatir Peh Shomalo. The leaves of this tree will be able to solve a problem of muteness. If a person is unable to speak by being treated with these leaves, he will then gain the power of speech. V'chad Omar, another opinion is, V'hatir peh shel mato. Peh shel mato is a euphemism, literally the mouth of below, but it's a reference to the ability to bear children, that if a person experiences the akrus, the inability to bear children, to procreate, these leaves will solve that problem. Itmar, Chizkiyomar lahatir peh ilmin, we see this presentation of opinions parallels that which we saw under Roman number 1. Chizkiyah parallels the first Chad Omar, who said lahatir peh shamalo. He says it in a more explicit fashion, to solve the problem of ilmin. Ilmin is muteness. Bar Kappa Omar, lahatir peh akrus. He says, like the second opinion, this is to solve the problem of impotency, or the inability to provide children. Rabbi Yochanan, a third opinion, this we did not see before, Latrufa Mamish, my Latrufa, he says, for as a medicine, literally. Well, what do you mean by that? Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omar, L'toyar Ponim Shel Ba'alei HaPeh. The expression Ba'alei HaPeh is a reference to the Torah scholars, so that by eating these leaves, it will improve the complexion, the Toyar Ponim, the visage of Torah scholars, prove their complexion, their complexion and their looks. Dorash Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Simon, Kol Hamashchir Ponav Al Divrei Torah. This drosha seems to be coming on the heels of what Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni just said, that these leaves will improve the looks of Talmidei Chachamim. Apparently, Talmidei Chachamim, in their intense study and dedication to Torah, end up almost starving themselves in the sense that they distance themselves so much from worldly pleasures that they're described as darkening their faces. Kol hamashchir ponav al divrei Torah b'olam hazeh, anyone who literally darkens his face over the study of Torah in olam hazeh, and that's, as we mentioned a moment ago, that's a reference to someone who does with very little because of his intense dedication to Torah study. And he does that in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mavik Zivov Le'olam Haba. In the future world, the Kodesh Baruch Hu will cause him to shine. Shinemar Mar'ehu Kelevanon Bochur Ka'rozim. Omar of Tanchum Bar Chaniloi, Kol HaMarev Atzma Divrei Torah B'olam Hazeh, anyone who starves himself over Divrei Torah, over the study of Torah in this world, like we said before, he tries to get by with very little because of his intense dedication to Torah study. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Masbio Le'olam Haba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide him with great satisfaction in the next world. Shenemar Yirviyun Mideshin Beisecho V'Nachal Adonim Tashkem. This pasuk being a reference to satisfaction. Ki also Rav Dimi Omar. Before we go further, let's take a look at the topic heading we have, a sub-topic heading, and we've written in on the side, Schar Shel Tzadikim Le'osid. The reward of the pious in the future. Vehesber el al hayuchilus shel tzadikim lekabel kamut rav shel schar b'osid. We'll also deal with the question of how is it that tzadikim can absorb, can acquire, can hold on to so much reward. He also Rav Dimi Omar. When Rav Dimi came, he said, "Osir Hakadosh Baruch Hu liten lechol tzadik v'tzadik meloi umsoi." Each tzadik will receive
the umso is malo chafonov, the handful of, he will receive a handsful of reward. Now, when it says handsful, it's a reference to handsful of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is handsful. Shenemar, Baruch Hashem, Yoim Yoim, Yamos, Lanu, Hokeil, Yeshua Senu Sela. So we see the word Ya'amos having to do with Omso, this handsful of reward. Amar Le Abaye. Abaye reacts with wonderment. He says, V'chi Efshel Omar Kein, is it possible to say this? How is it that a person will be able to hold the handsful of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He says, V'halo kvar ne'amar, it says in another pasuk, Mi modad b'she'elo mayim v'shamayim b'zeres tikein. In the hollow of his hand, the of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand, is all the waters of the world. And the shamayim is in a hand span. In other words, the one hand of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, kiviyachol, all of this, of course, is not to be taken literally, and that's fairly obvious, but nevertheless, we refer here to all of the cosmos can be fit into the one hand of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. How is it possible then that a tzaddik would receive a handsful of reward in Olam Haba? Omar Suravdimi, upon hearing Abaye's question, says, "My time alo shrichas ba'agadato. Why is it that you're not regular in hearing explanations of agadic passages? The Amri Bamor, Mishmei the Rava Bamori, it's been said in Marov and Eretz Israel, in the name of Rava Bamori, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu will increase the capacity of the tzaddikim in the future, so that with their increased capacity, they will be able to hold this great reward. Osid HaKadosh Baruch Hu liten l'chol tzadik v'tzadik. In the future, the Kodesh Baruch Hu will give every righteous individual 310 worlds. Gimel meos v'asora oylamos. Shinemar lahanchil ohavai yesh. V'otzerseim amalei. And the word yesh, begamatria, the word yesh in a numeral numeric equivalent, equals tlasme of the asura havi. It equals 310. So even though these ideas are very, very esoteric, nevertheless, what one comes away with when learning this Gemara, even on this very superficial level, is that one who makes the efforts in this world to dedicate himself, especially to Torah study, and to develop himself into a righteous individual, even though it might entail foregoing worldly pleasures, this world, of course, is a very, very fleeting experience, and thereby foregoing at times these fleeting pleasures because one is opting to develop himself in Torah learning and piety. No fear. There is massive reward awaiting such individuals in the world to come, which is of a much more permanent nature. Tanya, we are now exposed to a Tanaic source. As you can see, there is a frame around it in our marking system. This indicates a Tanaic source, and it continues till Kuf Omid Beis, till the upper part of the page. Tanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, b'mida she'adam modeid, modedin lo. The way a person conducts himself, the way a person deals with others, he in turn is dealt with. What we refer to often by the expression measure for measure. Dechtiv, and the posuk that indicates this, is b'sase'a b'shalcha terivena. Omer, Rabbi Yoshua. Some Gersoles say to leave out the word Yoshua and read it as Omer, Rabbi. V'chi efshir lomar kein. Is it possible to say this, that everything is done measure for measure? Adam noisein maloi umso lo'oni v'lo mazeh. A person gives a handful of food to a poor man in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu noisein lo maloi umso lo haba. That are we to expect the Kadosh Baruch Hu to give the person a handful of reward in the future world? Voksiv shomayim bezeres tikein. All of the heavens fit into a hand span of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And if all of the heavens fit into the hand span of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, how in the world is a tzaddik supposed to receive a handful of the Kodesh Baruch Hu of reward? So this was the question that Rebbe posed to Rebbe Meir. So he, Rabbi Meir responded, "V'ata I Omer King, what, and you don't say thusly? Ezo hi mida merubah, which characteristic is greater, midas toiva merubah or midas puranus? Is the trait of reward and benefit, or the trait of punishment? Heve Omer mida toiva merubah mi midas puranus. The trait of reward, the God's willingness to reward, is greater than his willingness to punish." We have a bracketed section in this source, and the note at the side that we've provided with the star says, "Besochas Agrayim Muva Halachah de Mida Toiva is Meruba Mimidas Pronus." Within the brackets, we will the source will simply provide a proof that the positive trait, the trait of reward, in the case of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is greater than his trait of punishment. After the brackets, though, the main point will be made. That having been said, let's read the Gemara straight through. The Mida Toivaksiv, with regard to reward, the pasuk says, "Vayitzav shchokim imoal v'dalsi shemayim posach v'yamter aleihem mon leechol." And God ordered the heavens to open up, and the dalse shemayim, the doors of the skies, to open, and there rained down upon them the mon. The mon was the food provided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Jews in the Midbar, in the desert, during their travels from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael. The main word, though, we've dashed, underlined, the word dalse, and that's associated with the reward, or the beneficial food that he provided. Uvamidas puronos huomer, and when it came to a punishment, the pasuk says, "Va'arubois hashamayim niftachu." With regard to the great flood in the time of Noah, it says the arubos. The aruba is a, and for our purposes, we'll say a window. The windows of heaven opened up. Now, in comparing dalse shamayim to arubos hashamayim, we know that dalse, the doors, are much larger than the arubos, so that we see that when it comes to the raining forth of the mon, the dalse opened up, which is a much larger opening, because that was an opening for toiva, for benefit. When it came to the flood, which was a punishment, only the arubos opened up, a much smaller opening. Furthermore, what do we see? The midas puranos ksiv. With regard to the trait of punishment, we find the following: v'yotzu v'ro b'pigrei ha'anoshim ha'poishim bi ki tolatom lo somus v'isham lo sichbe v'hoyu de'ra'oin l'chol basar. Says that the wicked men will eventually be punished by being burnt, and it says here the Isham, their fire will not get extinguished. And now, a description. V'halo otam moishir etzbo ba'ur b'olamazeh miyad nichve. A person sticks his hand into the fire in this world, and he immediately gets burnt. He immediately withdraws his hand. It's an instantaneous reaction that one withdraws his hand from the heat. And yet, the question is, how is it that these evil people that were featured in the pasuk in Yeshaya will be able to, they'll be exposed to the fire and burn and burn and burn. The fire won't go out, and they're somehow it's experiencing the great pain, and they continue to experience it, and they're stuck in it, so to speak. Just as the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives the strength of the Rishayim, of the evil ones, to receive their punishment. So if they are condemned to burning, they will experience the pain of burning and be able to continue to experience the pain of burning and not withdraw from it, because Kodesh Baruch Hu will be giving them the ability to withstand that experience. And But it will be, of course, accompanied with extensive pain, but at the same time, he will give them the staying power, so to speak. So just like for the Midas Puranos, he does this, Kach nos in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kach b'tzadikim, l'kabel tevosam, so too, don't worry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give the righteous the strength and the ability to absorb so much great reward.
Rabbi Kiva Omer, Af HaKori B'Sfarim HaChitzonim, another example of one who doesn't have a chelik in Olam Haba, will be one who reads in the external literature. What is this external literature that is so horrendous, so to speak? Tana B'Sifrei Tzedukim, one who engages in the study of the books authored by the non-believers, by the deniers of God. On the side of our Gemara, we've provided a nosei mivneh, a topic heading with a structural note. We see a house form featured, and this, of course, where you see a house, you have to, since it's a series indicator, you have to try to find another one. And you do find another one, however, it's positioned in an upside-down fashion, further down the page. In order to make the finding easier, just notice the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, between the Gemara and the Rashi, you notice an aleph in a house form. Skim down the page to try to find a beis. And lo and behold, you do, toward the end of the narrow lines, you have a beis in an inverted house form. The note on the side features a house with an aleph in it. That's the first version, Rav Yosef, Osir Likro Sefer Ben Sira, where Rav Yosef says it's forbidden to read the book of Ben Sira. The book of Ben Sira is a book that was authored quite a long time ago. Some trace it back to the era of the prophet Yirmiyo, even. However, it's not a holy book. So, according to Rav Yosef, in this version of the Gemara, it's forbidden to engage in the study of that book. The second version of the Gemara, where the house flips over, we see Rav Yosef matir likroi dvorim hatovim umudyokim bo. Rav Yosef allows the study of the positive things that are found in the positive and precise things that are found in that particular book. As we go on in the Gemara, we're going to notice a series of triangles with a double underline. The note says, Chipus, we will be engaged in a search, Achar, Loma Osur Likro B'Sefer Ben Sira. Why is it forbidden, according to the first version of Rav Yosef, to study that book? So let us now turn to the Gemara, and with this awareness of the prohibition and then the pursuit of the question, why? Rav Yosef Omar, B'Sefer Ben Sira Nami Osur L'Mikri. It's also forbidden to study, to read that book, because that book has emptiness in it, and one, through studying it, can come to Bittul Torah. Amale Abaye, my time all. Well, why? We have this question essentially is a long question, and we've indicated that with the number one that's triangled with a vertical dashed line indicating the length of this particular query. We've also provided a numbering system down the right-hand side of the Gemara text, featuring in triangles 1 through 5. All of these are the stages of the Gemara to determine why is it forbidden to read Sefer Ben Sira. So the first one, last a couple lines, this first question, Maitaima, Ilema, if it's because Mishum de Kosav Bey, notice we employ this double underline under the expression Mishum de Ksiv or de Kosav. Possibly the prohibition is because of that which is written in it, and each time the Gemara will feature a line that may sound problematic, but then reject it as being problematic. So if it's because Mishum de Kosav Bey, Loi Sintoish Gildana Meudnei, De Lo Lezel Mashche Lechavla, so far this means that one should not skin a fish from its ear. In other words, that when one wants to eat fish, he should leave the skin, certainly around the ear area, the head of it, leave it on the fish. Because if one tries to skin the fish from its ear, the lo lezel mashri lechavlo, because by doing that, removing the skin, it's going to go to waste. Elot soli yosei benura,
fry or roast the fish in the fire with the skin on it. The echobe tartin gritzin, and apparently the skin provides a certain richness to the fish that you'll be able to eat along with the fish 2 loaves of bread. So, is this some kind of like problematic statement? At this point, the Gemara rejects that. That, in fact, happens to be a good piece of advice. E mipashte, if you look at this on its superficial level, the idea of leave the skin on and not let it go to waste. But Raisanami Kosav, in our Torah, it also says, Lo sashis es etza, don't practice wanton destruction of trees. Fruit bearing trees, as you may well know, they are prohibited to be cut down. It's wasteful. E midrosha. And if you look at this on a deeper level, orach aro kamashmalon, there is a point of derech eretz, a point of proper living that's being expressed in this piece of advice in the Ben Sira book. That, and what is the piece of advice? The loy livol shaloy kedarka, that in the act of intimacy, one should practice it in the normal fashion. The man and woman, or husband and wife, that practice intimacy in the normal fashion produce offspring that way, or at least set up the situation where offspring can be produced. However, if one engages in intimacy shelo kedarka, the zera, the man's contribution, just goes to waste because he's entering the woman in the unusual way, in the shelo kedarka fashion, which does not allow for even a chance of procreation. So that's good. In one word, we can say wasteful. And that's what the Sefer Ben Sira is communicating with its example of don't skin the fish, don't let it go to waste. The Elah, Mishum Dechsiv, maybe because of the following. And this is also a long suggestion. Maybe the following is a problem. And then at the end of this long vertical dash line that you see at the same right-hand side of the Gemara text, there is an expression at the end of that. You notice the second word line, ha, it says there, dechia, will reject this suggestion. But in the meantime, let's see what might be problematic. Vela mishum dechsiv, is it possible because it says in Ben Sira the following, bas lovia matmoines shav. A person who has a female child, it's an empty treasure. In other words, matmonas shav, it's a worthless treasure. Mipachado lo yishan balayla, because of fears associated with a daughter, one just doesn't sleep at night. What are the problems associated with a daughter? Well, he's worried about her. Of course, don't for one second think that this is some type of bigoted remark, nothing of the sort. There are just certain facts of life that are associated with a daughter, and upon seeing this in the Gemara, this creates a sense of tension on the part of a parent that leads rise to this comment of Bas Lovio Matmona Shov. And here we go through the stages. Bekatnu. So when she's a little girl, Shema Tispate, the parent is worried that she might be seduced by some adult, some fellow. Benarusa, when she gets a little older, Shema Tizne, there's fear that she might go off into harlotry. Bogra, Shema Lotinase, when she gets to the Bogaris age, a little bit older, there's fear she might not get married. Nises, once she does get married, Shema Lo Yulabonim, so the parent is worried maybe she won't bear children. Hizkina, once she reaches older age, Shema Teasek Shafim, she might engage in the practice of witchcraft. So that a parent concerning a daughter, all through her life, the parent is full of a sense of tension and worry. Well, is this a problem? Does this make Ben Sira into a problematic work? Our own rabbinic sages say the same thing. A world cannot exist without both genders, male and female. Fortunate is the one whose children are males, and woe is unto the one whose children are females. And once again, I must emphasize that it's not a bigoted statement, nothing of the sort. Simply the care that one needs to invest in the raising of a daughter is accompanied by a great deal of anticipation and tension at times. And that's what gives rise to this particular statement. So we can't label Ben Sira as problematic because of his observation with regard to daughters. Elo, maybe the following, Mishum Dechsiv, Lo Soil Davya Belibach. One should not allow worry to enter his heart. The Gavri Givrin Kotil Davya, that many strong men have been killed by worry. Well, Ha Shlomo Amra, King Solomon also made reference to the problem of Da'aga. His pasuk says, "Da'aga b'lev ish yash chena." Rav Ami Vervasi Charamar yisi chena midaito. One opinion takes the word yash chena and says he should put it out of his mind. That's from the word yisi chena hesech hadas. The Charamar, another one, says yisi chena lacherim, that when one has worry, he should talk it over with others, get it out of his system, so to speak, relieve himself, because if not, the worry that's contained, that one contains within his heart, could lead to disaster. Well, that's Shlomo HaMelech said, so we can't fault Ben Sira by having said something like that. V'ela, number four, Mishum Dechsiv, Mina Rabim Mitoch Beisecha, V'lo Hakul Tovi El Beisecha. Maybe because of this comment. Let's take advantage of Rashi's explanation. Rashi's found in the outside margin, a little more than halfway down, the outside column, that is, Mina Rabim, Oisom She'ein Lucho Esek Imohem, those people that you have no dealings with, Mon'om Mitoch Beisecha, prevent them from entering your house, your private quarters. V'lo Hakol Tovi Beisecha, the next Rashi says, Afilu Oisom She'atom Esek Imohem, even those that you do have dealings with, Lo Tavim Todir LeBeisecha, don't have them come constantly into your house. Elo Mibachutz Tedaber Imohem, it's preferable to speak with them outside. So, is this a problem? The Gemara says, well, the Ha Rebbe Nami Omra Tisanya, Rebbe himself said this similar advice in the following Tanaic source. Rebbe Oimer, Lo Yarba Odom Reim Besoch Beso. A person should on an ongoing basis make sure that he doesn't have many friends coming into his house. Shenemar ish reim lehisroea, a person that has a lot of friends, lehisroea, from the word ra, things will go bad for him. And Rashi says ish reim, that's sheyesh lo reim harbe, a person that has a lot of friends, lehisroea, Rashi says lesof miriam lo shemiskoitet imohem, and eventually he's going to end up having strife with them. So we find the Gemara sharing with us some very significant social advice, how to deal with the general public and with one's own friends, and the issue of privacy. The following, we're going to call, this is number five, and as you can see from the markings, this will take hold. In other words, what we're going to see in the next couple of lines is actually foolish. Elo Mishum Dechsiv, it says in the Sefer Ben Sira, Zaldekon Kurtimon, a beard that's very thin and straggly, is the sign of a wise, sharp man. Avdakon, a thick bearded individual. Sach son is a fool. Denofach bekase, lo tzochi, someone who is served a drink and it has a foam heading on it, has some foam on the top, and he tries to blow off the foam. It's a sign he's not thirsty. Omar, a person who says, Bemai echo lachmo, what am I going to have together with my bread? Lachmo sav mine, well, take the bread away from him. The fact that he can even contemplate, what am I going to have with the bread, is a sign he's not really hungry. Man de isle mavrisa bidikne, someone who has a split beard. Kule ama lo yachli le, no one will be able to get the better of him, because according to the way Ben Sira sees things, a person who is very cunning and and scheming, he's constantly stroking his beard, so much so that in the course of time it develops a split in it. And that gives rise to this particular comment. After all said and done, though, Rashi in the inside margin at the upper part of the page says, "V'chol hani divrei ruach," all of these things are empty points. "V'lekach ein korin bo," and that's why we don't read that sefer. The issue of dealing with the Sefer Ben Sira, though, is much broader than this. We find many places in the Chazal that they do deal with the Sefer Ben Sira, and they do quote from it. One might find some rather illuminating information on this topic by glancing at the Sefer Margolius Hayam. We continue in the Gemara. Omar of Yosef, Mili Ma'al Yasod Isbe, positive things that are in Sefer Ben Sira, Darshinam Luhu, we will expand upon them and teach them over. This, by the way, is the beginning of a long point, and that's indicated by the Nun that's circled in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and you can see it lasts down quite a few lines into the wide lines. So what does Sefer Ben Sira say that it is worth teaching over? Isha toiva matona tova. A good wife is a wonderful gift. Bechek yirei elokim tinasein. She will be given to the midst of a person who is God-fearing. Isha ra tzoras lebala. A person who has an evil wife, it's an affliction to her husband. Mai takante, what's his solution? Yigarshena mibeiso v'yisrape mitzoraso. Divorce her, cast her out of his house, and he will thereby be healed from his tzoras. Isha yafa ashrei baila, a beautiful woman is fortunate is the husband of a beautiful woman. Mispar yomav kiflayim, because of his hano and pleasure from that, it's as if he has a double, an extended life. A person should be careful to avoid the charming woman. We're speaking primarily about a married woman, someone who's married to someone else. A man should be careful not to be enchanted, we'll say, by the charming woman. Pen tilokeid b'mitsudasa, so that he not be caught in her trap. Al teit etzel balo limsoch imo yayin v'shechar. A person should avoid drinking wine and other intoxicating beverages with the husband of such a woman. Ki b'torah isha yafa rabim hushchusu v'atzumim kol harugeha. Because many have stumbled in the clutches of this type of charming woman. And many have been destroyed. Rabim hoyu pitzei rochel. The pitse, the wounds absorbed by the rochel, the merchant who he distributes women's cosmetics and fragrances. So these cosmetic salesmen have absorbed many blows. Rashi explains a little more about this. He says, "Rabim hoyu pitse rochel kama v'kama makis mekabel rochel amatzir beir v'noisei tachshite nashim." There are many blows that these merchants absorb. Many times a husband walks in seeing this man alone with his wife and he lets him have it. Hamargilim lidvar erva kenitzot mavir gacheles. Rashi says, Hamargilim lidvar erva ni'uf harein kenitzot mavir gacheles. Kishaviv, like a spark, hamavir es hapecham, kach kol asher lehem kala v'hoylech. Continuing in the Gemara, kikluv molei oif kein boteim maleim mirma, like a cage full of birds, so too the house of these type of people is filled with deceit. Mena rabim mitoch beisecha v'lo akol tovi beisecha. Keep the public out of your house and don't bring just anyone in. Rabim yu dorshe shlomecha, the public, the masses should seek out your welfare. That means be on good terms with everybody. Gale sodcha le'echod me'elef, however, your true secrets reveal to only one in a thousand. Rashi points out, Rabim yu dorshe shlomecha, shete misahiv imakol, you should be beloved with everybody. But even so, lo segales sodcha lekulam elo leechad mine elef. Don't reveal your private secrets to them, rather to one in a thousand. The Gemara continues, mishecheves chekecha shmor pischeki picha. From that which lies in your bosom, be careful with your speech. This is explained by Meforshim as one's neshama, that one's neshama that rests within oneself eventually reports to Shemayim what a person does and what he says. So a person should be very careful even from his speech because of the neshama that rests within him. Al teitzar tzoras mochor. Don't be so concerned under tension concerning the possible troubles of tomorrow. Kilo teda ma yilid yom shema lamochar inenu. One doesn't know what a day brings. It could be that tomorrow will never come about. V'nimtza mitzar al olam she'eino shelo. Person might die before ever reaching tomorrow, and that all his preoccupation and anxiety concerning what will be tomorrow was a waste of time, because that tomorrow never comes. Kol yimei oni royim. There's a pasuk in Mishlei that says all the days of the poor man are bad. Ben Sira omer af lelos. Ben Sira adds not only the daytime but even the night. Bishval gagim gago. As far as houses in the community, the poor man's house is usually on the lowest level of town. Uvam Rom Harim Karmo, and his fields, his vineyards, are usually on the top of the mountains. And now the Gemara explains the double problem here. Mimotor Gagim Ligago, his roof, which was described as being the lowest in town. What happens is there's runoff from the higher roofs onto of all the water, all the rainwater runs off the higher roofs onto his rooftop. Omei ofer karmo likromim, and since his vineyard is located on the upper slopes of hilly areas, there is much more erosion, and all the topsoil and fertilizer is blown off from his vineyard because it's high up onto the vineyards that are located lower down. We see here a simon presenting a number of names, and before we go on in the Gemara, let's glance at the Nosei Mivneh heading. We see diamonds featured in the Gemara, and on the side, six pirushim al kol yimei oni royim. We're going to see six explanations addressing this posuk that says all the days of the poor man are bad. What is this a reference to? So the first opinion is Omar Rabbi Zera, Omar Rav, Mai Dechtiv Kol Yemei Oni Roim. What is meant by that? Elu Bale Talmud. The Yemei Oni Roim is a reference to those who are engaged in the study of Gemara, of the Talmud. V'tov Lev Mishna Tomed, Elu Bale Mishnah. The Pasuk says that Tov Lev Mishna Tomed, that one enjoys the constant partying, that is a reference to Bale Mishnah. So you'll ask, what is it? How can you describe the Talmud as Yemei Oni Royim? So the Rashi says Shekoshe Lumod Merov Kushus V'Sugis Sheishbo. It's difficult to learn it. To learn a Daf Gemara and delve into the Sugis is not an easy task. So the strain and the concentration that is required for true Talmud study is described as Yemei Oni Roim. However, that which is easy to learn, like the Mishnayos, that's referred to here by the term Toiv Lev Mishna Tomid. Number two, Rova Omar Ibcha. He says just the opposite, that the Bale Talmud, they're characterized as Toiv Lev Mishna Tomid, and that's because when one learns a sugya of Gemara and he comes out with a conclusion, that conclusion can have actual practical halachic bearing. He can learn how to behave in a legal fashion from having studied a sugya of Talmud. However, once one studies a Mishnah, one doesn't come away with anything of a of an applicable or a binding nature. One does not paskin, doesn't rule based on studying Mishnayos. V'hainu d'yomer of Mesharshia Mishmeda Rava. Rav Mesharshia says in the name of Rava, along these lines, Ma'idichtiv Masia Avonim Yatzei Bohem, one who hauls stones will have sadness from that. Elu Bale Mishnah. However, Ubokea Eitzim Yisochibam, one who splits wood, will derive heat from it. The investing energy in dealing with wood, you get immediate benefit from that when you heat it up and benefit from the warmth. Elu Bale Talmud. Rabbi Chanina Omer Kol Yemei Oni Royim Ze Mi Shiyesh Lo Isha Ra'a. That's one who has a bad wife. The Tov Lev Mishta Tamid Ze Shiyesh Lo Isha Toiva. Rabbi Yanai Omer Kol Yemei Oni Royim Ze Isinus. The person who's fastidious, that every little piece of dirt or bad smell irritates him, that we call an istinus, that's characterized as someone who all the time has it bad, because there's a lot of things in the course of daily existence that will irritate these kind of people. However, v'toyiv leiv misha tamet ze shedaito yofet, a person who's considered having a good time always, that's the person who's not affected, who's daito yofet, is the opposite of the fastidious individual who can manage dealing with the dirt and germs and the sword, and it doesn't bother him. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Kol Yemei Oni Royim Ze Rachmani. It's a person who's full of compassion. As one knows, there's so much injustice in the world, and people who take it to heart, they have a lot of pain on an ongoing basis, and hence they're characterized as all the days of the poor are bad. That's Kol Yemei Oni Royim. V'toiv Leiv Mishta Tamid Ze Achzori. The Achzori is the opposite of the Rachmoni. The Rachmoni we characterize as someone who's full of compassion and mercy. The Achzori is someone that lacks that characteristic, and as a result of that, even though there's so much evil and miscarriage of justice going on in the world, it doesn't bother him. As a result of that, he feels good all the time. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Omar Kol Yemei Oni Royim Ze Shedaito Ktsora. The expression Daito Ktsora, Rashi features two pshatim on this. The second pshat is a person who's wrathful, a person who has a temper. He is called Kol Yemei Oni Royim. Most of his time is spent with temper and anger, and certainly not an enjoyable experience. The Toiv Lev Mishta Tomid Ze Shadaito Ruchava. That's someone who takes it easy, and he doesn't get worked up about every different circumstance. The Omer of Yeshua ben Levi Kol Yemei Oni Royim. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi raises a question with regard to this pasuk. How can you say that all of the days of the poor man are bad? Are there not Shabbos and Yom Tov that even a poor man buys or is able to prepare special food and have a proper meal on those special days? So what about that? So the Gemara answers, believe it or not, even Shabbos and Yom Tov presents a problem for the poor man. The poor man, all the time, during the week, he eats very limited type foods, poor foods, that when all of a sudden Shabbos comes along or Yom Tov comes along and his system is stunned by all of a sudden rich, high quality food, this actually causes a problem for him. Kiddush Shmuel, based on Shmuel's teaching. Shmuel, who by the way was a medical personality, the Omar Shmuel, Shinui Vesis, the change of that which one is regular to, Tchilas Cholimeim, that is the beginning of digestive ailments. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.